Staff, please call the roll.
Steve Durham. Dr. Flores.
Here.
Jane Goff.
Here.
Pam Masnak.
Here.
Marcia Neal.
Here.
Dr. Shuffle.
Here.
Dr. Schroeder.
Here.
Biz.
Oh, Steve is here.
Here. Georgia.
Good morning, all. The first item on the agenda is a presentation by Bruce Hankins, Superintendent of Forest County Schools, and Brian Hansen, Superintendent of Mathis School District RE6. Commissioner, would you introduce the program, please?
Thank you much, Madam Chair. And thank you for all those that have come before us today. We really appreciate wanting to hear from you. I'm going to have Elliot start it off because this really dovetails into his presentation. He probably will cover everything that he's going to talk about. But anyway, we want to get it kind of started and then turn it over to all of you. Elliot?
Just slip in here, my fault. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure to have these representatives here with us today from the Rural Innovation Council, Innovation Alliance. These folks have been working on an alternative accountability pilot for some time, and we're excited to have you hear about their work today. Let me just run down the table here. We have Paula Stevenson from the Rural Alliance, Douglas Bissonnette, Superintendent of Elizabeth School District, Brian Hansen from Superintendent Mancos, Bruce Hankins, Superintendent in Dolores. That's Dove Creek, Dolores, not to be confused with the other district there. Next to him is Sue Holmes, Superintendent of Buena Vista, and then Lisa Yates, who's the Director of Curriculum Instruction in Buena Vista, and Kathy Gephardt, I think, is down on the end for Curriculum Instruction. Michelle Murphy from CASB is also in the audience with us today. Just brief introduction. We first met with this group a few months ago as they were formulating their ideas. A number of us from the department, Rebecca Holmes, Keith Owen, myself, and Lori Shepherd joined us for that meeting. It was a very interesting day. And these folks have continued to finalize the details of their process. And as they've gone along, we've been able to have a direct communication line and collaborate with these folks as they've moved ahead and further develop their ideas. As this process has gone along, they've done an incredible job of reaching out to a number of different stakeholders. I attended a meeting at CASB a week or two ago in which there were superintendents, teachers, board members, and others working on this design, and a lot of investment by a variety of different stakeholders. And they've also brought in research from different authors as well as from different states. In fact, they were using some information from Vermont. At the same time, some of us were visiting Vermont and looking at the work that they were doing. So we're dovetailing there. And we look forward to continuing to work collaboratively with the Rural Innovation Alliance as this process proceeds. And let me turn it over to Brian Hansen to start the presentation.
Okay, Elliot, thank you. Madam Chair and members of the State Board and Commissioner Hammonds, thank you for not welcome. I saw Robert, and I just have to apologize again yesterday for giving you a heart attack. We walked in early. We didn't mean to do that.
I thought they didn't get the notice that they were here today.
No, we just wanted to see what was going on. So again, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I know you folks are busy and have heavy agendas, and again, we appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk to you this morning. As you can tell from the slide behind me, we're here to share with you our student-centered accountability project, answer any questions that you may have, and hopefully get some direction from you as we continue to move forward with this project. You will soon see that there are 14 districts located geographically all over the state of Colorado represented here today. We also represent approximately 1.5% of the student population in the state. What you're not going to see, and I need to take a moment here and say this, what you're not going to see in the presentation and the slide today is a tremendous amount of effort and support that we've received from three key individuals that I want to point out today. One being Kathy Gephardt from Children's Voices, the other being Michelle Murphy from CASB, and finally Paula Stevenson from Colorado Rural Schools Alliance. And we couldn't be at the point that we're at today in front of you without their support. And we really appreciate that. So just a little history, I guess, in how we got here and why we got here. For me personally, this is my 29th year in education. This is my 12 of those years as a high school teacher. 10 of those years as a building level administrator, and the last 7 years as superintendent of the Manka School District. Now, with 29 years of experience, I think I have, with 29 years in the business, I think I have some experience that I can draw on, and I can make two statements to you that are absolutely truthful. Statement number one is, education has never been in a worse place than it is today. Statement number two, education has never been in a better place than it is today. Now, you're kind of looking at me go, what did he just say? He contradicted himself. Let me explain. When I say that education has never been in a worse place, what I'm saying is that over the last 17 years, we have been operating under a system that the only thing that matters is a test score. That this test, which our kids have openly said over and over again, has no value to them, is then used to determine how my school, how my district, how our schools and our districts are rated. And when you factor in the concept that we are small rural districts and we have a small N size, taking the test that kids really don't value and then throwing it into a system that doesn't account for our small N size, the information becomes statistically invalid. So any trend analysis that we may do isn't valid. We collectively would have to test between 100 and 300 years before we would have enough data points to have any trend analysis that we develop be accurate. I think the only thing that we've done, and this is my personal opinion, is we've drained the life out of our profession. And we're hearing that over and over again from our teachers. I also know that education today is the best it's ever been. And that is due solely to the undying dedication and commitment that we have from our teachers each and every day in the classroom. Today's students are producing more today than ever. And I personally cannot be more proud of the work our rural schools and our rural students are doing. But under our current system, our students are continuously labeled as failing. Our teachers are continuously labeled as failing, and that is simply not true. It's not true in my district, and it's not true in any of the districts that are represented here today. We are here today to provide you with an opportunity to allow us to move forward with what we think is an amazing project. So with that, I would like to turn it over to my esteemed colleagues, Lisa Yates and Sue Holmes, to lead you through our student-centered accountability project. Sue, Lisa?
Thank you. Brian had mentioned our 14 partnering districts, and I'd like to acknowledge that we have quite a few here present today, even during this really extremely busy end-of-the-year time. And Ellie introduced a few of us. I'd like to acknowledge again, we have Elizabeth School District represented with Douglas at the, toward the end of the table. Dolores County. We're from Buena Vista. Mancos next to me. As well as Monte Vista and Bayfield are in the audience. And so there's strength in...
Reno's here.
So seven, so half of the partnering districts are here. And it's an incredible feat just to be here during this time. You know, we have identified ourselves as having unified diversity. And we're all unified because we're all rural, but also because we have this intense desire to strengthen our accountability by involving our local stakeholders and adding measures above and beyond our state assessment, because we think that that gives us what our local stakeholders are looking for and the strength that we need for accountability. But we're also diverse. We're from all different regions from our state. We're different sizes of rural. Brian talked about some of us being small and having such a small end size that the current accountability system can't even measure to larger rurals in from the state. We represent different student demographics, and then all 14 of us perform differently on the state assessment. And I think that our diversity brings us strength as well. When we talk about wanting to strengthen our accountability, I think first we need to look at what our current accountability system is right now. Right now, it's an external measure only, basically 100% minus graduation rate is based on our state assessment. And to strengthen that, we're looking at adding measures. So we would still have the external part of meaningful learning measures, but we would also add resource accountability and professional capacity to be portions of our accountability. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail in just a few moments. But what I'd like to do is really talk about where is this information coming from? We didn't pull these measures out of our hats. We have a great deal of research behind what we're looking at, what we're asking for. And when looking at our main sources, I also look at these as being unified diversity as well. So we've got four main sources listed up on the slide, and they're from a big range. The first one, the Vermont State Board of Education Resolution, is a state source. Fulin's article, Professional Capital as Accountability, is an educational research source. Finish Lessons, an international source. And the last one, a national source, National Education Policy Center School of Opportunity Project. So they're very diverse, very different, but they're unified because they all come to the same conclusion that we've had an over-reliance on a single measure in our country for accountability. And that includes the state of Colorado. It's just not enough. Doesn't provide enough information that we as districts need to bring about positive change and lasting improvement. It doesn't motivate or cause growth. And we've seen that over and over and over again. And Brian alluded to it when he talked about the test means nothing to our kids. And it becomes a very frustrating system to be under. I'm going to pass this off to my colleague Lisa as she continues to go into more information and a little bit more detail about the different measures.
So Sue mentioned the pieces of the pie, a visual that we're using to organize both the research, the body of research that we're looking at, to describe what else a strengthened accountability system could be. So the external measures was that first piece of the pie, and we're calling that meaningful learning. That term came primarily from the educational research that we saw in Fulin's article. And that encompasses the transparency that we currently have on that single state measure. But we would also advocate adding additional measures to that meaningful learning category. The body of research shows that. And then our experience being under the current model of accountability has certainly contributed to our advocacy for expanding what is used in accountability. So some thoughts that we have at this stage of our project is adding local assessments. In addition to supporting what state assessment results are showing on that, our local assessments also allow us to include our local stakeholders and leverage their involvement in what accountability means. At this point, when accountability comes, we have to spend a lot of time explaining to them what those results even mean. And the complexity of the calculations that are used to determine those accreditations is what we invest our energy in working with our local stakeholders on. If we could shift that and have them much more involved in determining even what those results are, and then looking at the internal, which we'll get to next, the internal factors that can move us to the continuous improvement we're looking for, would change what we use accountability for. So included on the slide are other examples of what we might use in that meaningful learning. Attendance rates, participation rates in extracurricular activities, health and fitness results, emotional and health assessments. The opportunity schools research also contributed to those other assessment measures that we have up there. So meaningful learning would be a part of the accountability system, but we would strengthen that with the other pieces of the pie. Resource accountability, and what we have put in that piece of the pie now are things like our facilities and our finances, our parents and our community that contribute to our system of internal accountability that we would like to add and strengthen our accountability system with. Our last measure on there is mutual accountability, and even looking at what are the resources that a rural district is given and how are those expenditures used. We feel that's an important part of how our local district should be held accountable. And again, by bringing our local stakeholders into that conversation, we feel like we can leverage then continuous improvement. The other piece of that pie is professional capacity. So things that are happening in our system is we have written curriculum, we have strong instructional practices, professional growth, and then all of those entities that cause continuous improvement, those are the things that we're working on within our system that are overlooked, that don't get factored into, is this system moving students in their achievement and growth? So we would like to add those and strengthen accountability by into those measures. In the project, ways that we might measure that, because those internal measures don't necessarily have quantifiable results. So we would look at continuing to use achievement and growth results. But added to that could be perception surveys. Those are quantifiable. We might also look at improvement planning, and could that be quantifiable? What goals have been set, what actions have been put in place, and how has that been monitored? That, too, could be quantifiable. And then audits, you'll hear later more about what we'd like to include in the project is peer reviews. So these partnering districts going in and giving one another feedback on those internal measures. And so that, too, could be quantifiable. So adding some quantity to the internal measures is what we're proposing in the project. So I think Bruce is going to take a more detailed look at the timeline.
Madam Chair and members of the State Board, I'd like to thank you again for this opportunity to present our project. I'd also like to thank CD and Elliot specifically for taking time to give us feedback and support. Thank you. And I'd like to thank all of the team members. We put a tremendous amount of work into this project already. So you might be sitting there wondering what it is that we're asking for. Really, we have two asks this morning. The first, we're asking that you endorse a timeline that I'm getting ready to present for our project. And secondly, we're looking for some assurances that we would not be required to concurrently run two accountability systems. I'd like to go over the highlights of our timeline, which starts today. And obviously, we spent a lot of time, several months, working on this. I've logged about 7,400 miles back and forth from Denver since January. Brian's at about 7,000, and Paula's about 4,000. So that goes to show our dedication to this project. We really have worked a lot of long hours getting it to this point. Yeah, and it shows how his hair's gray.
That's not what I said.
Yeah. Actually, it's the hours in the car together that caused that. So our phase one goals are to simply, year one, secure your endorsement assurances, as I just stated, to utilize the state's transitional hold on accreditation to give us sufficient time to focus on our student-centered accountability system that will meet state legislative intent and state statute. Participating districts will work with local stakeholders to identify and adopt specific internal and external accountability indicators, and some districts have already begun this work. And then we would fine-tune the collaboration among our districts and that collaboration between our districts and CDE. So that would be the first year of the project. Year two, we would implement the project, the student-centered accountability system, which is aligned to Colorado academic standards and the opportunity gap distinguished criteria. We have also added student growth to the 11 criteria identified in the opportunity gap work. We'd also have multi-district teams complete site visits. These would be the audits that Lisa talked about, and provide feedback to the local stakeholders and a project update to CDE and the state board on the progress of our project. Year three, the partner districts would respond to the peer review and continue aligning the accountability system to the Colorado academic standards and the opportunity gap criteria that we identified. Districts could also develop action plans to address the areas of focus identified by the peer review teams. Phase one would end with an external review by an eclectic team of educational experts that will be determined through collaborative process with the state board and CDE. So we want people from the outside that have expertise in coming into our districts and giving us feedback on what we're doing well and what we might need to improve on. Phase two, and this is really kind of an undetermined amount of time at this point, but by the end of phase two, we would like to produce a replicable student-centered accountability system that focuses the attention of educators, parents, students, and other members of the community on maximizing every student's progress towards post-secondary and workforce readiness and post-graduation success. And that is right out of statute. Again, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to present a project, and we do hope we have your support. We tried to specifically arrange this so we had quite a bit of time for questions and answers. So we would like to open it up for any questions that you have, and we'll move forward from there. Thank you.
Board, questions? Angelica?
Well, I don't want to go first asking questions, having you think that I'm not very impressed with your report. I thank you for coming, and I think it's terrific. So my questions are not about being critical, but just understanding a little bit better. When I see the various factors that you're looking at, are you thinking that there's going to be a menu for these items? For example, participation in extracurricular activities. There might be a district that has 10 kids in it. And so, in other words, is it a menu, or what's kind of framework? Are we just adding requirements that you report on? Or are we giving some choices in the same way that we're talking now about graduation requirements, giving districts some choices?
So I'll take that one. You know, the idea was to have broad enough frameworks that we could measure whatever each of us was doing. What we didn't want to do is have this top-down approach where we said you have to do all of these things, because we are very different. And there might be a district that only has 10 kids, but if they only have 100 kids in their whole district, that would be an indicator of student participation, which also rolls into student success.
So there's some decisions to be made at your board level, which may or may not need approval, or I'm trying to figure out a way for this to work without top-down, without a list of requirements. Thinking back on 191, in some ways, I think districts feel like they have choices if they adopt the model, but in some ways, I'm not sure they feel they have choices if they adopt the model. And so I'm trying to get a comfortable level of balance when I ask these questions. When a district makes a decision of which items on the menu that you've described, and there may be some more items that other districts want to add in here, does the district set a percentage? I'm looking for the implementation, partly because that's where we often get stuck when we have really great ideas.
I'll take a stab at that question. So we have focused, as Bruce said, around a framework, and we focused around the opportunity gap framework, and I think we included that information in the information that we sent to you. There are 11 of those. We added a 12th one, which is student growth. We're envisioning that districts would focus on 5 of the 12, with one of them being student growth, each and every year. So that within the 5 that a district chooses, it leaves the opportunity for districts to really focus at the local level of what's important in their specific district. For an example, we, through this process, we visited some other districts in talking with their superintendents and their boards. And one of the districts we visited was Marino, who has an incredible...
What's the other name for Marino?
Where is Marino?
Buffalo.
Because I looked for it on the list of 178 districts, and I couldn't find how it's listed.
Buffalo.
For you, it's 5 miles south and east of Willard.
Well, that's the where, but how is it listed on the CDE? On the CDE web, Buffalo.
Buffalo. They have an incredible
sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
One of my questions from 3 days ago.
They have an incredible student and staff health program going on, and that's important to them. And they could take that and embed that into one of their criteria where another district might have something else. So it does allow that menu piece for people to focus on what's important at a local level, what people really value at the local level.
And let's just learn from each other. I mean, when I went to Marino, I was like, we could do that. That would be powerful for our district.
Sure.
And I hadn't even thought about it.
And that audit piece, I think, is really powerful for folks to be able to interact. I am glad that you're putting growth in there for sure, because I truly believe that is what parents want to see, is their kids learning, growing each year. In some cases, it needs to be faster than 1 year, but that's a whole other discussion. Are you suggesting that we adopt this statewide, so the biggies? I mean, you're representing the small districts where there are real opportunity gaps, but are you suggesting that this would be the statewide system? Should we think about it that way?
Kathy, take it.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Madam Vice Chair and the rest of the board. We're not suggesting that other districts, that we would impose this on other districts. We think it's a very viable model, and if other districts wanted to look at it, they certainly should. But this is, as you've seen, we want to run this small and run it for as long as we need to get the appropriate data, and we believe that at the end of it, it will be a model that other districts will want to adopt, but that's certainly not our position or our ability to ask other districts to adopt this.
Okay. So at the same time, we have another process underway, which I think includes some of the larger districts, because there's no question, but there's a concern that we've not had enough factors in our accountability system to provide a valid measure to our communities. What you've pointed out may or may not be some of the same measures that those folks are going to bring forward. So I'm guessing there may be some conversions over time between these two groups. Yeah, Kathy.
And I think that's why we are here talking with you and coordinating with CDE, because at some point these will cross or merge or whatever. So we are trying to make this as collaborative and open a process as we can, so that at the end we're not crosswise, but we're all going down the same road.
Okay. And it's a good road that I strongly support. Thanks a lot.
Board, other questions?
Thanks so much for coming. Really appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here, because I really think that the top-down approach to accountability and centralization of high-stakes testing has been detrimental to parent engagement, to students, to teachers even. So I'm glad that you're thinking, what's the best for your districts? How can you best support learning in your district? So my question is, that I'm a little confused on, is what do you need permission from, so to speak, from CDE? Because when I look at your slide, it looks like you're doing student achievement results, you're doing student growth, you're doing perception surveys. We have no oversight over that. UIP implementation, you're already doing that. Audits. No, so in other words, what are you asking for, so to speak? Like a waiver or a different model or a different way of reporting or different assessments, different valences in the formula, or you're just beginning to think about those details? But I'm glad you're raising the question, and districts need to meet the needs of their constituents, so you're thinking that way. I'm just confused on the, what does CDE have to do with some of the things you've proposed?
Madam Chair, we talked about the fact that that very question may come up, and the group has informed me that I may not answer that question, so I'm going to turn it over to somebody else.
Do you want me to answer, Brian?
Please do.
I think that, as you can see, we're laughing about this because this is a new venture for all of us, and so we're not exactly sure. And we're respectful of the fact that we are on as an informational item, but we also want to make sure that as we proceed, that we're not doing all this work only to find out that there are these obstacles that everybody knew about ahead of time. And so what we are hoping for is to continue the partnership and collaboration and support from the board after you've had a chance to review this and understand it, but support soon, because this work needs to start right away. That we have your support and assurances that there aren't any known obstacles that would prevent us from doing it. Because if we can identify those obstacles, we can probably find a way around them. But if we don't know what they are till too far downstream, then I think it creates distrust amongst everybody, and I don't want that to happen, because this project should go forward. So we've been working. Yeah, initial phases. We believe for sure we have the year timeout. We're not asking for a waiver. We could be and probably will be asking for more extensive timeouts, but I think we aren't really sure what 1323 means yet. I think we're still trying to figure out what all of that looks like. But we will be back as we figure this out, and we're hoping that you will also reach out to us and say, well, here's something that maybe none of us thought about. We're going to need to figure out a way. It's either a clear obstacle or we're going to need to figure out a way around it. But we're hoping that – sorry – in June, that we would be able to get some of these assurances, because it would give us time to come back and move forward, because we really want this work to start right away.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, very well stated. Thank you.
So I'd like to ask the question, what do you need from this board? Would it be helpful if we came up with a list of things that are possible, so that you're not stabbing in the dark wondering what's possible? What are the broad outlines what are the outlines that the feds require? What does state law require? Where is there ambiguity in the way the language is interpreted? What might you be able to propose, so that you're not just wondering? I mean, I think that would be helpful if we could draw up something like that to give to districts, so that you could be thinking along the lines that are consistent with what the law requires at the federal and state level.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Did you get an answer, or are you just making a statement?
Yeah, I guess that's – I'm proposing that maybe that would help you, but maybe you have an answer.
Well, a lot of the work up to this point has been with the legislature trying to get what we felt would be better language. We don't feel we got the language that we really needed in 1323. So it really – our presentation today was hopeful that we had really specific language in 1323 that enabled us to move forward with this. We didn't get that. So we've kind of morphed our presentation – to fit better with what happened with 1323 in hopes that moving forward there will be more movement in the legislature to allow these type of things legally.
And I think it would be very helpful if we could have a list of things that were concerns from you and from the board and from the AG and the department. I think ahead of time that would be really helpful to know. And we really, as you saw in the discussion around assessments, there's some concern around whether you have to run parallel systems, and the same is true with accountability. So we're not trying to get out from under accountability, but we also don't want to be trying to run two accountability systems at the same time. So that's one of the assurances that we'll be looking for.
As a follow-up, I wasn't suggesting we should release a set of concerns, although we could do that too, but I'd like to talk about what's possible.
Right.
Where are the possibilities in the current law, state and federal,
that you could speak to, right?
Thank you. Or changes.
Yeah. Right, or changes.
Or changes that are needed.
Thank you very much again. Appreciate you.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Also, I think it would help if you probably have done more work than the body up here, and you probably know more than we do. Can you tell us about the obstacles that you think are out there that would hinder you from this wonderful thing that you're proposing? I'd like it.
Madam
Chair and the board.
Are you the obstacle person?
I think we've identified one of them, which is being required to run two parallel systems because we don't have the resources. And we don't believe that would serve our communities. And that's part of the collaboration and engagement, is trying to figure out where those issues are. But I think that was one that has risen to the top. And I see the rest of the questions that my colleague.
Well, one of the things that I would say is if you look at the statute around accountability, I would put forth that what we're proposing meets statutory requirements a whole lot better than our current system.
But it does meet it.
It does
meet
it.
So I don't quite understand the two. I'm not sure I understand even what you're saying when you're saying don't ask us to run two systems.
Because
you're doing the one and expanding.
We just want to make sure we're on the same page for that.
Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could, hung up on your glasses, Sir Douglas. I think the other thing that we might want to talk about is the student growth piece and the piece around assessments. We want to make it perfectly clear that this project is not necessarily around PARC. The state-mandated test is a summative assessment, and summative assessments are important in that body of evidence that you have. And I've shared this with Elliot many times. In my district, my concern is not with PARC. My concern is 3 months of instruction lost because of PARC, and I don't get the results back for 6 months afterwards. Now, here's an interesting fact. My district had about 95% parent refusal. They had just said, we're done. Enough is enough. And there really was nothing I could do to stop that. And so with my principals, we sat down and said, how are we going to handle this opt-out of PARC? And, you know, the decision was that we were going to schedule the test. We would give the test. But we eliminated in the classroom all pre, post, practice,
good,
everything,
good. Good.
Getting ready for the PARC test.
Right.
Last week we did our end of the year MAPS assessment, and my principals came in and they were very excited. They said, "You'll never guess what happened this year. End of year MAPS assessment compared to previous years." We had a 20% growth in student achievement. And I said, interesting, how much time did we save in the classroom by not doing all of that prep pre? And they quickly did a calculation and said about 15%. So to answer your question, one of the things that we have to figure out through the collaborative effort with CDE in our districts is how that state test fits in. Can it be a sampling? Can it be a shorter sampling? Can it be a shorter test, a version? Can it be a quicker turnaround on the results? And I think, Kathy, you were at a meeting last week maybe that some folks were at, and they talked about that. The I don't want to say high-stakes test. That's not what I'm going to say. That the state test can be used in that form of sampling, that we can get comparability out. Is that correct?
It was the presentation to all of you from the esteemed panel from CU and the principal from El Paso County. Can I just add one more thing, which is I think what would be confusing, given what you've just heard from Brian, is then to have CDE label Mancos under the old system. So what we're trying to figure out is we get the year time out, but how to avoid the labeling going forward if that's at all possible, and how we work that out, because that's also part of the accountability system. And we don't have an answer to that. We think for the first year we have a good answer. But after that, we need to figure out how we avoid the labeling on one external measure when we feel like we're complying with the intent of the law. So I think that's something yet to be worked on.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
In answer to your question as well, I think there's two things that may have been partially said so far. One is that we're here to say that we'd like to collaborate. And it takes everybody that's a part of that collaboration to say yes, we're in. So we want to know if you'd like to be a part of this collaboration. Now, just like us, we don't know how it's going to end, and we don't know where it's going to be in a year, but we've said we want to collaborate. And why? Because we believe that the goal is important. It's important to our students and our communities, to our taxpayers. And the second thing is some technical assistance from CDE that we do not have in our districts to crunch the numbers, to look at data, to bring a level of expertise to data that we don't have. We know we will need that. And if there's a collaboration between the state board, CDE, and this group of districts, then we can do that work together. We're not coming up with competing sets of numbers. Because we know that for you and for the folks that you represent, you're going to need to have reliable numbers. And we're going to need to be able to be in agreement on the numbers. I believe in the document you got, there was some statements about the goal, but I'd just like to reiterate an important part that is a part of a resolution that our board adopted. And it says that it's the responsibility of policymakers to create the conditions for an effective accountability system that produces substantial improvements in student learning, strengthens the teaching profession, and provides transparency to the public. That is our goal, and we don't have all the details fleshed out. The statutory basis for working on that, the Colorado statute intends that the statewide accountability system, we're looking at the accountability system, which includes assessments, but we our focus is on the accountability, not on the assessments. That the system focuses the attention of educators, parents, students, and other members of the community on maximizing every student's progress towards post-secondary and workforce readiness and post-graduation success. That is our goal.
It's ours too.
It also, the statute says that it intends a statewide accountability system that provides more academic performance information. This is from statute. Fewer labels, and move from a punitive accountability system to one that is positive and focused on learning and achieving high levels of academic performance. That is absolutely our goal. So what we're asking is, are you willing to collaborate with us to work towards that goal for our 1.5% of the students in Colorado that have different circumstances that are not working so well under the current accountability structure?
Pam.
Thank you for coming today. Thanks for the presentation, but most of all, thanks for the idea. You have my support. I'll do everything I can to make sure that you can move forward with this. I'm a big fan of flexibility, and that's not just for our rural and small districts. I think we need more flexibility for our large districts, for high-performing districts. So I think this is an excellent idea, and I would hope that as a board we can completely support this notion and move as many barriers out of your way as possible. This is something that we need to have happen in this state.
Steve?
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think if I understand the ask, it's whether or not we think this is in the realm of possibility. And you've all invested a fair amount of time and effort in this, and I think at least probably most of us here think that flexibility is a good thing. But I think before you invest a lot of other additional time and resources in it, you really need a definitive statement from the board as to whether or not we're willing to really buck state law to some extent, because I think one of the things you're looking for is at least an alternative to administering PARC at every grade to every student. And I'm sure the Attorney General's in the back room tell us that's a waiver we can't give. And I think that's probably the reason that you failed at the legislature to get the language that you really wanted in the bill, that we're all prisoners of, I think probably we ought to invite Arne Duncan to Marino. I've been there, so.
He's in town today, you know.
Well, maybe you could find Marino. We could send him a map or something. Might be fun.
They don't have roads out there, though.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So at any rate, I think before you go a lot further, I think you need a solid commitment from the board that we're willing to go absolutely as far as we can, and you probably will get some hint when we get down to an item a few spaces down about our waiver request and the letter of rejection that we got for the request for the action that we took on not dinging your accountability because you don't meet 95% participation of your students. And if we can sustain that position today, that might be a sign that indicates we're really willing to roll up our sleeves and try and help, but it's going to require commitment not just from the board but from the staff to get this done. So I thank you for what you're doing. I think it's very important. I don't believe one size fits all. I don't believe one size fits all. So I think the answer to your question is we'll certainly try, but you need to monitor our progress very carefully.
Angelica? Or Jane, I'm sorry.
Jane, go ahead.
Thank you. Again, thank you all. It's always nice to see all of you, other than in some hotel all the time. I appreciated, I agree with you. I think when we're talking the A word, accountability, it's a lot bigger than the other A word, assessment. So whatever the assessment program is or the structure is one part of a much bigger effort and a consideration and careful thought that you put into this. I think you're looking at what is really a better way for us to look at the picture of the big picture and know that various things are getting accomplished inside of that big picture. I know this is not the day to go into the weeds, but as you were presenting and talking about what are some ideas for opportunities, what are some enhancement thoughts and such, my mind goes crazy. And then I do have some questions, and I think we can talk another time about it. I'm interested in the phrase opportunity gap distinguished criteria. I'll get there, but I'm having a little trouble with that combination of words right now. And the other, on your external factors and the internal list, thoughts around some of that external is actually internal to our state, but it's external in that it's not necessarily part of the bullet points that you listed. For example, is external considered something like looking at the accessibility or the applicability, the application of such things that we do have? For example, in the realm of post-secondary and workforce readiness, what about ICAP or some sort of other plan for moving toward the future, which I think we all agree, if you're looking at higher student achievement, it is for the further down the road purpose. Ultimately, the target at the end of the road is not just at a certain accountability reporting time frame. It's down the road for kids. So ICAP came to mind, some data, some record-keeping, tracking of that, how's that moving? Related in a way is the whole concurrent enrollment. Our districts, and we all know where we are with resources needs, but our districts making the effort on their part, on your part, to make sure that people are aware of all of the opportunities and the access possibilities. So we have actually chatted about that before in the general realm of what are some other things that make for strong schools, effective schools, and all of those kinds of things. So it's to me, and then I'd love to talk to one of you or more at some point about how facilities, how does that relate to the it's fascinating. Ideas abound around that, but I'm just wondering how you would talk about that with your community. So how is the state of our facilities or how we're progressing around that, whatever that may mean, including infrastructure needs, how does that relate to accountability? I mean, we know the answer. But then my last question would be, I'm assuming that your boards are completely filled in and on board and supportive, and that there has been some initial conversation in your communities, as deep down as you can possibly get, with diverse conversations about what this means. And then, of course, think about the rest of us out in a little bit bigger districts and how it might carry over, and really we all have a lot to learn, which is great.
A number of boards have passed resolutions. In Elizabeth, we sent out a message to 2,500 families that provided a link to the meeting today with the supporting documentation. We've been keeping them informed. Every district is at a different place in their process. One size timeline doesn't fit all. So I think we're aware of that concern. I'd like for everybody to just clarify some of the, well, a distinction between internal and external accountability. That's a major part. And this is from the Fullen article that's referenced. And it's just two sentences, one on each. Internal accountability occurs when individuals and groups willingly take on personal, professional, and collective responsibility for continuous improvement and success for all students. So when we talk about internal accountability, it's that individuals, groups taking personal responsibility, collective responsibility for student learning. External accountability is when system leaders reassure the public through transparency, monitoring, and selective intervention that their system is performing in line with societal expectations and requirements. So that's a framework that we're working with now on internal versus external. That could develop, but what we believe is we need to expand the internal piece, that there's so much emphasis on the external that it doesn't, especially in small systems, allow us to put appropriate emphasis on the internal. Accountability is taking responsibility for one's actions. We want to embrace that more at the local level.
Madam Chair?
Can we move quickly, please? Angelica?
So in the discussion of flexibility, we all worship at that particular altar. It's important because our schools are different, our kids are different, but we also need comparability. And my biggest worry is if we get too far off track here and everybody's doing everything else, particularly for the small districts, you will again have the reputation of not being able to provide a comparable education that the big school districts offer. And I don't want to see that. I think I want a family across the state to be confident that their particular, they can stay in their community and their children will get a world-class education. And so I want to warn you a little bit about getting too far off track in terms of being able to do some kind of comparison for all kids across the state. I think that's where this comes from. It's not a desire to make one size fits all. It's a desire to give confidence to all that we're providing a good education for all our kids. So I don't want us to keep worshiping flexibility to a degree that makes everyone so different that we go back to. I mean, one of the great things about the statewide assessments is that we're seeing some of the awesome performances of kids in rural districts. This has actually, to some extent, served some of the districts that really couldn't demonstrate how great they were. So let's just keep that in mind as we're moving forward, please.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I also want to say that we don't want to keep you from really flying. In other words, there was a study done on a large school district recently. They were given a lot of opportunity to innovate. And after about 5 years, a big study was done that these people kept doing the same thing. They didn't, you know, they didn't leave the box. They just kept repeating some of these old tried out things that really didn't work. So expand your wings. Do what you think is right for your kids. And I think that you will have success if you do that. And given all the guardrails that you place there, I think you will.
Thank you.
Can I make one comment, Madam Chair? Angelica, in response to your statement, I think it's important for us to tell you that comparability piece is very important to us as well. And in our groundwork, so to speak, we have had several conversations with higher ed who has assured us that they can offer that comparability, that kids that are kids that are in this pilot, then we can hold them up against students who are not in the pilot and have that comparability. It's very important to us as well. So just so you know that.
I haven't had a chance to say a word yet.
I just wanted to do one sentence to answer.
You have to be loud.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to answer Ms. Goff's question, which is the opportunity distinguished criteria came from the Opportunity Gap Project, which was based on a book that was best research around closing the opportunity gap around the country. And so we cited to that, and so that's where those criteria came from. We've tested that. A school in your district won a gold award just recently, and there are things we're going to change as we go forward, but that's where it came from. So I just wanted to answer that question really briefly.
Thank you. And I, yes, thanks for the mention for my couple of schools, and we're really happy about that. But it was just the combination of those four words all together: opportunity gap, distinguished.
We really like them.
Criteria. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming, and obviously you've had a very good response to your presentation. It was excellent. For myself, I totally understand. I think I know that we've all struggled with the nature of the park testing, this big encompassing sort of monster with 20 legs. And having grown up in a rural district myself, I certainly understand the problems. Oh, yes, we turned that off early. Yes, having a private conversation. And I've also served on a NASB Rural Schools Council, and so I find, you know, we have the same problems in all the states. In Colorado, we have, and I don't have the exactly, but like 78% of our school districts are rural, but only, it's almost exact off, 22% of our students go to those rural schools. So where those other 78% of the kids are naturally gets a lot of the attention. But I totally understand that rural schools have entirely different kind of questions. And I was very, very impressed with your presentation. We've all struggled with the nature of park and the big bureaucratic nature, and which is, I mean, it's difficult for everybody, but it's particularly difficult for you. I will be very, you know, interested in following the procedure, seeing how this all works out. I certainly, you have not said anything that I don't approve of. We struggle with the nature of
the rules, the laws that come down to us, and so we'll have to see how we can work through this. But I like what you had to say. I'm really impressed with it, and thank you for your presentation. Driving all the way here from Moreno, now we know where it is.
Far.
You did a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.